the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we're reading at the verse 24. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. He's finishing up what is being commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And here is his conclusion. Verse 24 of the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Turning over to the 4th chapter of the book of the Acts and reading at the chapter 4, verse 5. The verse of the 4th chapter of the book of the Acts. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught by your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible word. Amen and amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. All imposters get out. Neither is there salvation in any other? My text sets forth the absolute intolerance and total exclusiveness of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ brooks no rival in his work of saving men. He is sovereign, and salvation is worked by him and freely given by him because of his death on the cross. He is crowned supremely to do the work of saving sinners. It was Mr. Spurgeon, the great English preacher, who said, "A thousand errors may live in peace with one another, but truth is the hammer that breaks them all in pieces. 100 lying religions may sleep peaceably in one bed, but wherever the Christian religion goes as the truth, it is like a firebrand, and it abideth nothing that is not more substantial than the wood, the hay, and the stubble of carnal error. All the gods of the heathen and all the gods of all other religions in this world are born of hell." Strong language, but true. "Therefore, being children of the same Father, it would seem amiss that they should fall out and chide and fight. But the religion of Christ is a thing of God's. Its pedigree is from on high. And therefore, when once it is thrust into the midst of an ungodly and gainsaying generation, it hath neither peace, nor parley, nor treaty with them. But it is truth, and can never be yoked with error. It stands upon its own rights, and gives to error its due, declaring that it hath no salvation, but that in the truth, and in the truth alone, is salvation found." The many false gods of this heathen and apostate age in which we live are worshipped, and differing false gods are even coveted by those who have a different system of worship. Why? Because they all originate from error, darkness, and the devil. They have a common father. Christ said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye will do." He was a liar from the beginning. But the worshiper of the true God has something very plain and simple to declare. If you turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, you will find there in the book of Deuteronomy a very plain statement. A statement that is worthy to be spoken. And what does that plain statement say? "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 13, I shall fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. He shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about thee. We come to the first great truth of my text, and it is this. Christ stands all alone. All impostures are out. He is the all alone Savior. He is the all alone Savior. Subtract anything from Christ, and then he cannot see you. Add anything to Christ, and then he cannot see you. Here we who are true believers have proved in our own experience how true this is. Yes, we have tried other works of the flesh. We have tried other beliefs. We have tried other principles enunciated. And at the heart of every false religion lies the common doctrine of good works. That man by his own self-effort, that man by his own righteousness, that man by his acts and working can attain to and obtain salvation. There is the eternal curse of Almighty God on all who build on such a rotten foundation. This Bible tells me, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And many people here tonight are depending upon the church for their salvation. How many have placed their faith in the sacraments and ordinances of the church? Take communion. Many think because they sit at the Lord's table and take the elements that represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ that it is well with their soul. Ungodly, unwashed, unregenerate, unconverted sinner, let me tell you, you can sit at the Lord's table and eat damnation and drink damnation to your own soul. Salvation is not in the ordinance or sacrament of the Lord's table. There are many in this house tonight have been brought up to believe because they were baptized by a minister of the church that all is well with them. Let me bring that delusion to an end tonight. Let me say to you that the waters of baptism can never cleanse away a pinhead of man's guilt. Oh yes, the water might make you wetter, but I'll make you no better. You better be sure of that. These are the delusions of the enemy, and that delusion comes from the Roman Antichrist, the harlot church. It tells people that by the miracle of baptismal regeneration, all who are baptized by the priest are regenerate. All imposters out, neither is there salvation in any other. Christ is the alone Savior. He stands alone in His sovereignty and in His power. But then, this text also infers that there is no alternative. Christ stands supreme. He is the all-unique Savior. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. There is no refuge for sinners, no safe refuge, no eternal refuge, no satisfying refuge, but in Christ, and in Christ alone. Alas, man, sinful man and woman, will seek every damning alternative rather than the only true way to heaven. Let me ask you a question, sinner friend. Why is it that you sit in this meeting and you missed the way of salvation? Oh, you're very confident in your alternative refuge, but your alternative refuge has never saved you. If I said to you tonight, are you saved? You would say no. Why? Oh, you say, I lack the assurance of salvation. No, you don't. You lack salvation. That's why you have no assurance. Because all the doctrines and dogmas of man that takes a sinner away from depending only on Christ, the all-sufficient, unique Savior, everything that takes you away from that robs you of God's salvation. Your false refuge gives you no hiding place from your soul damning sins, and well you know it. Your way of life is a way of death. The death of your spiritual state is plain for all to see, and in the depths of your heart you have no peace with God. You have no joy. You have no rest. You have no happiness and no hope and no light. A lost soul. Why? Because you have tried to find an alternative to Jesus Christ, and you can find no alternative to Him. He is the supreme and all unique Savior. Let me point you tonight to the cross of Calvary. And there on the old tree of the cross, there hangs your Maker. There hangs your Creator. There hangs your Preserver. There hangs the Almighty God of Providence and the Almighty God of Grace. He is able to save to the uttermost. He has saved in the past men and women to the uttermost. He is saving and has saved this week in our services to the uttermost. Thank God, He will continue to save to the uttermost. He alone saves There is no alternative to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid the full debt of your sins and my sins. And because He paid that debt, He is risen. He's not hanging on a crucifix. He's not held up a weak child in the arms of the Virgin. He is the Almighty Christ. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the key of hell and of death. Will He lock you in to death and hell? Or will He lock hell's doors and death's doors so that you will never enter there? That's the question you've got to ask yourself tonight. God has accepted Christ. God has accepted Christ's work. God has accepted Christ's putting away of sin. Now you have to accept Christ, or if you reject Him, you will be lost forever. And finally, my text has something else to infer. It not only infers, the impostors have to get out, for Christ is the all-alone Savior. It not only infers that there are no alternatives, that Christ stands supreme, that He's the all-unique Savior, but this text of mine infers that there are no substitutes. Christ is alone the sufficient Savior. He alone is sufficient. All other Saviors are totally deficient. My only foundation, my one hiding place, my sole and only hope is Jesus Christ. The old Puritans used to say, the Bible reveals 108 names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is in every one of them. Free, full, present, and eternal salvation. There is none beside Him. There is none like Him. He's the alone Christ among all others. He's the alone Christ. All others are imposters. There are no alternatives. There are no substitutes. It is Christ and Christ alone. My friend, tonight, I must ask you and press upon you this question. Is it in Christ and Christ alone that you are trusting? On wings of faith, my soul would soar, my Savior's riches to explore, and call on all in heaven and earth to set His brightest glories forth. As one in God, the sacred three, He fills His own immensity as God and man, Emmanuel. His riches are unsearchable. Our surety bound, our debts to pay, our priest to put our sins away, our prophet to explain His will, and our physician full of skill. Our King whose power can never fail, our advocate that must prevail, our righteous judge to end our strife, our sacrifice to give us life, our Father to instruct and feed, supplying all his children's needs. Our friend that does at all times love and faithful to his covenant prove. Our hiding place when foes invade. Our strength on whom our help is laid. Our rest amidst all earthly care. Our God to hear and answer prayer. Our head to sympathize in grief. Our fullness to avoid relief. The husband of his chosen bride, our best example and our guide. Our portion full, a boundless store of peace and pleasures evermore, are all in all in whom we dwell, whose riches are unsearchable. Angels in heaven, nor saints on earth, can ne'er describe my Savior's worth. To sound this deep, should all agree, will take the whole eternity. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the only Savior of men. Is he your Savior? Can you say, I am his and he is mine? Are you out there in the darkness, deceived by the devil, trusting to impostures, trusting to alternatives, trusting to substitutes, building your house upon the sand? The last final storm will hit that rotten refuge in which you are hiding. The Bible says, judgment I will lay to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. And the heel will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Hide not your soul in the rotten refuges of men. Go to the cross and say in faith, through acceptance of the Savior's blood, I'm hiding in thee. I'm hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages. I'm hiding in thee. And then it will be well with you in time, well with you at death, and well with you for all eternity. Let us bow our heads. Amen. O God, our Father, we thank thee for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that salvation is in him and in him alone. And if we have him, we have salvation in all its fullness. Oh, we thank thee for that great invitation. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Help precious souls tonight to turn to Christ, to embrace Christ, to receive Christ, to put their faith in Christ alone. And then they will be saved, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Do a saving work this night in the hearts of men and women, and boys and girls, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.